2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome on in. It's another edition of KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us. I'm subjected to watching a 1-7 Syracuse versus a 2-6 Louisville team here on the TV screen, Scott, and I couldn't be happier. You know why? Because it's not the game that's running across the screen that is interesting me. It's all the other things that are going on, and a lot of them have to do with some of that breaking news crawl that you get across the bottom of the screen, and this one has to deal with the Utah Jazz. We're going to start off with some more Jazz moves from today. You should be very excited about this, Jazz fans. Plus, so many other things to talk about. Let's jump right in. It's the 705 Cut.
The Cut at 705. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Brought to you by Wasatch Medical Clinic. Struggling with ED? Sick of pills? Visit wasatchmedicalclinic.com for a $500 free offer. Scott, when we were doing our show prep just a mere moments ago, we were chatting about some of these things that may or may not happen for the Utah Jazz. And while we were talking about it, first it was the Jordan Clarkson news. Jordan Clarkson, everybody's favorite man off the bench, re-signs for 4 years, $52 million with the Utah Jazz. That's great. But then add on top of it that you're going to be seeing a familiar face here in Utah. The reports, of course, have one of our favorite guys, Derek Favors, coming back to the Utah Jazz.
On the right side, guarded by Capella. He fires the three. It's short. Favors grabs it out of the air, goes back up. No, tips again. Yes! Derek Favors relentlessly battling down low.
He's back.
Well,
Scott,
what you have here is clearly the Jazz bench didn't work last year, right?
Bad.
And the only guy who did was Jordan Clarkson.
Yes.
I mean, he was amazing. I mean, he was like having a starter in reserve. And when he was on the court, he kind of was given free rein. And I think it really helped him build confidence. It helped develop his game. But then if you remember, Derek Favors was like, oh, we need a guy like Derek Favors back here. And like the two of these guys, and added with someone, you know, because you're going to have someone from the starting rotation, or you're going to have a Joe Ingles, or you're going to have a Mike Connolly or one of those guys. And you then all of a sudden the Jazz become a much deeper team. There's more electricity from the bench. There's not a huge drop off. Provided that Derek Favors comes back and he is the Derek Favors that he was. Clearly, he wanted to come back to Utah, and he was very well liked, and I always felt like he really liked being here and played hard here. So, I think you can see that the Jazz are saying, bench has to be better, and these are guys that they're known commodities to us that we know will give us production off our bench.
So I'm really excited about it because you think about we've been talking all year about this. Wouldn't it be amazing if Derek Favors came back? You know, like know. And we just kind of did this.
We
like
sent fake... it out in the universe, Alex, and it came back to us.
If Oprah taught us anything, Scott, it's to just it's to verbalize it, send it out there to the universe, and maybe something will happen. That's our secret. That, in fact, if that's the secret, quote unquote, to you know having a better NBA team in your city, maybe we should just start sending out some more of those vibes. But Derek Favors. Jordan Clarkson signing with the Jazz today. These are big moves. If we're moving along with more of these headlines from today, of course, the reports are that Taysom Hill is going to get his first start in the NFL versus the Falcons this weekend. These are all still reports, but they are reports, and there's a lot of them. And so people are saying Taysom Hill's going to get his first start. Now, the team isn't necessarily rolling that out, but as we started doing all of our work today, we were discussing this earlier in the week, and Dave McCann, who's going to be coming on with us in just a few minutes, was quick to say also, hey, I think he's going to get the start this week, and it looks like it's going to happen, Scott. So how is Taysom Hill feeling right now? You've had that happen before. They go, hey, kid, you're going to get your first official start this weekend. And who did you get your first start against, first of all? Not just coming in.
Indianapolis Colts. And actually, it was on TNT. TNT actually used to do NFL
right after games wrestling,
and,
they'd have
and
a,
I,
an
and
NFL
And I want to say it was like a Sunday. It was a night game. It was a high-profile game. But for me, it was like I had already played. So, you know, it was technically my first start, but it was, you know, the right. game I went in Cleveland. So I just remember Dan Marino going, hey, it's okay if you throw – you know, I threw three interceptions my first game. So – and he was talking to me like I was going to be really nervous or this was going to be really hard. And I remember saying to myself, I'm not nervous about this. Like, I'm so ready for this. And I'm sure that that's a lot of how Taysom Hill feels because he's a guy who says, I believe in myself. And it's been remarkable what he has done to position himself – to becoming a starter in the NFL as a quarterback. And I can't help but think of the contrast between Taysom Hill and Tim Tebow. And you have Taysom Hill who wasn't even drafted by the Saints, somehow miraculously ends up on their practice squad to a coach, maybe one of the few coaches in the NFL that would say, I see something in Taysom Hill.
Right.
I see something in him as an athlete. And so as far as like a career move, that was like the best possible scenario for Taysom. Not only Sean Payton, but to watch Drew Brees. And I can tell you from my experience being around Dan Marino for 4 years, it massively paid off for me when I started playing. Because I was like, I'd seen it. I saw it every day. I knew. And it wasn't a big surprise. Taysom's a very different player than Drew Brees, but he does have things that Drew Brees doesn't have. And so I can't tell you how excited. This is one of the most exciting things that I have to look for, maybe this entire football season. I want to
see. Oh, really?
Yes. I want to see if Taysom Hill can or cannot do this. I really do.
Will you be able to tell after one game? Or is
no,
it one of those things
no,
where
you're, no, you're not going to be able to tell. The thing that, look, we know he's going to run, right? And we know he's going to be effective running, too. I mean, you think of some of these other guys, Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray and these guys. And that's all Taysom Hill has to do. He's just got to move around, scramble, and buy extra time till he gets comfortable reading defenses. You know, Drew Brees, he throws it on time. He throws it in the right location. He has great anticipation. That stuff has just got to come for Taysom Hill. But he can survive and he can thrive in the NFL right now on his just ability to escape and run and move around.
What's the definition of success on this like first weekend? Is it just a win? Is it you just get away and go, look, we beat the Falcons, they're a divisional
opponent. There's no moral victories in any of this. The Saints are, you know, they're in a heated battle to win their division and go to the playoffs and the Super Bowl, and they feel like they've got a pretty good football team. So this is about winning football games and nothing else matters. And people they're not going to give him a pass.
Right.
The guy got paid. And so they're going to expect him to go in and make stuff happen. And I believe he will. I believe he'll create an energy and an excitement and that will lift all the people around him. They'll just go, man, this Taysom is crazy. Like he's insane. We, you know, and they go, we want to follow this guy.
Right.
And we believe he can help us win.
Of course, the reports are coming out from all the NFL reporters, ESPN, multiple reports. Adam Schefter saying that this is going to happen. And then there's Sean Payton. I always love these coaches, even when the reports are flying.
Yeah, listen, someone has been named the starter, but we haven't announced it. Is that all right?
Sorry.
Someone has to be named. I mean, you have – you know, it's not like one of those things where they go, we're going to open up a competition here and we're going to let them know. That does not happen. They
I just
go,
love the idea.
You are the guy right here, and we're giving you all the reps, and we're going to give you a legitimate shot.
Here's my question.
At making this.
What are the sources that Adam Schefter had? Was it from the team? Or was it Taysom's mom?
No, here's how it works.
Taysom's grandma calls up Adam Schefter and goes, I heard he's starting this weekend.
No, here's how it works. Local media. Okay, they get tipped off by someone in the organization. It's not the coaches. The coaches don't say that. It's someone in the organization. And they say, hey, look, Taysom's going to be the guy. You didn't hear it from me. And if you say you heard it from me, I'll never give you another piece of it. So this stuff goes on all the time.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And they want it to get out. Like the Saints want this. They want their fans to be energized and excited.
But
I mean, this is
I'm interested. It's been all over the place. People's quote-unquote excitement level. They're getting excited, but sometimes it's in the negative direction of, I can't believe they're letting that kid start. And there's others saying, finally, he's getting his shot. Let's take a break here. We'll come back. Dave McCann from KSL5 Television is going to join us. He's got the call tomorrow on TV, BYU versus North Alabama. We'll break that down, plus his prediction coming to light with Taysom Hill getting the start this weekend in New Orleans. Stay with us. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled.
Okay, welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery, talking about Taysom Hill potentially, more than likely, getting his first start in the NFL.
Why don't you just accept it?
No, I'm excited about it. And it just brought back memories for me of when I got an opportunity to play. And I got some great advice, and it's very true advice. It's when you get your opportunity, because you don't know when. And Taysom Hill's worked extremely hard and gone a very, you know, strange route to get to where he is. But when you get your opportunity to play, you better play good. And that was the advice I got. It's like there's no moral victories. There's no, like, you're on scholarship. You get your opportunity, and you go, and you run with it. And you make sure whatever you do that you play well enough to stay out on the field.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? So few people ever get a start.
Yeah.
An NFL football game.
It's amazing that Taysom Hill is starting.
It seems like everyone gets a shot at quarterback. It's like that's just not true. Look at all the people in the world and how many get a start, even just one game, in the National Football League. And so I know that they're just sky high. Him and his wife, and they just can't wait for Sunday.
Oh, she playing too? That's going to be amazing for them.
She's probably more stressed than he is.
It's a new thing they've done in the NFL, trying to improve ratings. Yeah, and ratings are down.
Dave Nixon, who's working the game with us on BYU TV tomorrow at BYU, is leaving right after the game to catch a flight.
He's his brother-in-law.
He'll be there to cheer
him
on Sunday morning. Yeah, friends, family members can get in.
He gets a family discount.
So he gets in with his brothers, and it's going to be awesome. Just wish Taysom the best. Hope he just goes out there and does his thing. And man, now you got to defend a guy who could run on you on every pass play, not just every now and then. I think, and it's the Falcons, so you got that going for you too.
Well, the report was that the report also was that it wasn't just that Taysom's getting the start. I don't know why they had to include this. They're like, Jameis Winston is included in zero packages this week.
Because the national media was all wrong all week. There was Winston, and they had no idea that on Monday.
They had already told them. Yeah, so I look at it, and well, one, they have to go along with that. They have to say, look, we have this mini advantage, which is not everybody knows exactly what we're going to do or who we're going to put in at quarterback. So let's ride that for as long as we can.
Yeah,
well, they're very different players,
yes,
and you got to defend them differently. And so, you know, if it's two, traditional dropback quarterbacks, it's one thing. But if you have someone like Taysom Hill, maybe they need a spy player to mirror him at the line of scrimmage, or their rushing attack and how they actually rush in their lanes, and that they want to say, hey, we want to keep this guy in the pocket and we want to make him beat us throwing the football and not let him beat us. So there's a huge change if the Falcons know who the quarterback is.
Yeah, the worst part is he's playing right in the middle of church meetings, so I got to DVR it.
That's getting in the way of some people's viewing this weekend.
That's going to be awesome.
So, Dave, we brought you in because you got the call on TV tomorrow with Blaine Fowler on BYU TV, and you guys can watch it on BYU TV. You can listen to it right here on KSL News Radio, as always. And this is a big game for BYU in a different sense. That is that maintaining that undefeated mark is probably not what we're thinking about, like if that's going to be on the line. It's about how much does Zach Wilson play? I know you talked to him today, and I want to know where he's at right now in his season, going into the ninth game of the year, waiting, you know, all this stuff swirling around about who could be an opponent versus what they do know is they have this game tomorrow, and they have San Diego State on the 12th of December. That's all they can control.
And they have goals of playing in a bigger bowl game. It was interesting. He's such a it's been fun to watch him mature. He is in the moment and in command of the moment this season. And he even mentioned how fast things change, where there was a time last year where fans didn't want him to play. They wanted the others to play. And now every NFL team called BYU this past week talking about him. And I made a point. I said, you know, the last BYU player to start in the NFL was John Beck years ago. The next one's going to be Taysom on Sunday. And you're going to be the next one. Has that started to sink in? And he goes, you know, it is. It's fun. You can't not think about it. But he said he loves the guys around him. And you can tell his team unity. And he became the leader toward the end of fall camp. And in those first couple of games, he said he had to convince his teammates on the field that he would get the job done for him. And they all bought in. And that's tough. He said one of his favorite things to do is hang out with the team at the hotel on Friday nights, which he's doing right now.
Yeah, that Provo Marriott bouncing.
That's
right,
a hopping place.
Yeah,
look that's a good lesson to learn, and that is, you know, you start talking about the future and all these NFL coaches, and they want to talk about Zach Wilson, and it's a good habit. It's a good lesson to learn. Stay in the moment. Take care of your business today. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's North Alabama. I don't care if it's San Diego State. I don't care who it is. Make sure that you take care of today, because that's the only thing that's going to help you have a tomorrow, is to do that. I'm curious what you think, Dave, about this game. Like, is there anything that BYU can do to move the needle, or what would they have to do to move the needle from a national perspective? Because the first college football rankings come out next Tuesday. And what would have to happen in this game for BYU to get maybe a little bump?
They just need to win. They don't need to score 1,000 points. They need to win and look good doing it. You know, through their schedule, which was blown apart by COVID, as we all know, and put back together with just teams that would play, it's not the strongest, obviously, but every time they've beaten a team that they're supposed to crush, they moved up in the polls. Every single time. So win is number one, and then get Zach some passes where he's on ESPN Sports Center, and there's a Heisman candidate zipping the ball around, and then let all the other teams beat each other. I think that's the best thing that the BYU could do. And you know what? It doesn't all ride on Tuesday's poll next week, because so many teams in front of them play each other. Even if it's Florida and they run the table and everyone's going, Florida's going to go to a New Year's Six. Well, they got to play Alabama. Now all of a sudden they have two losses. So do they play ahead of an unbeaten team? Maybe. The debate always seems to favor the P5, so we're not stupid. But but stand firm, be the lighthouse on the hill at 10-0, and let the storm wipe everyone else out. And I think, you know, we've said before, I'll say it again, COVID's going to rewrite the ending of this. We're just not sure how. But look what it's done to college football over the last 3 weeks. Even the Pac-12, as much of a train wreck as that is, they've tried to come on and do all this stuff. Another game canceled today. Fortunately, Scott, your game tomorrow is a go, which
don't
is exciting.
Anything.
At least
we're really happy
we're
right now.
For now.
Yes, this is the furthest we've got in a Friday all season.
Yeah.
So.
Hope you've done your homework. It's going to be too late to cram tomorrow. But I just think that, you know, BYU is grateful that tomorrow is their ninth game of the season. And a shout-out to North Alabama. That's one thing Kalani talked about today. Their schedule fell apart. North Alabama was the only team that said, we're staying on. We're going to play you on November 21st. Even Houston said, we're not going to come up there. And so BYU said, well, then we'll come down there. And they're like, oh, okay, why would you want to do that?
You know what?
Because they want to play the game.
BYU, you know what BYU should do? Cut them a check for like $1 million. I don't know, around there. And then and say thank you. And but before that, they got to hang 60 on them. So that's
one,
my
one thing that's really good. About,
I think they'll get 60.
Yeah, one thing that's really good about this game is it's an early game. So BYU, they're ranked.
Middle of the day.
So
yeah.
you're gonna hear about a ranked team and how they did on Saturday. You're gonna hear about that about BYU. So
and the eye test,
that's a good pub.
The eye test was blowing out Boise State. That was the eye test for BYU. Everyone on their schedule voting for them. They know they're playing North Alabama tomorrow.
Dave, before we get out here, what does this season land historically for you when it comes to you've covered a lot of this team for a lot of years. What is this if they go 10-0, where does this land historically? Without even knowing whether or not they get picked up for a New Year's Six game or anything.
I think it's just a miracle that they played their whole slate. I mean, COVID's worse today than it was in July.
So whatever if it's the Cotton Bowl, BYU fans should just call it Miracle Bowl 2.
Miracle Bowl, Fiesta Bowl. Hopefully they get to the New Year's Six because you know what? Then they get a payout. They get to keep all the money. They don't have to share it with other teams. And they can turn around and repair the damage that COVID's done to the athletic department and move on to Raider Stadium next September against Arizona.
He also does not share his payout with any of us. He's Dave McCann from KSL5 Television.
See you guys tomorrow.
Thanks for hanging out, and we'll take the break here. Matt Biamonte, host of Cougar Sports Saturday, joining us next. We'll have a BYU preview. Who's this North Alabama opponent? Plus, he's the one been saying all along that Taysom Hill is an NFL starter. Looks like Sunday he's going to be right. Stay with us. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled.
KSL's Unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, former NFL quarterback, former University of Utah great. Tomorrow, he's got the call with the Utes taking on the Trojans.
Looks good so far.
So far, so good. In fact, I'm a big fan of us not even let's just assume it's going forward, and I'm just going to go ahead and turn off my phone from updates, all right? Which is not really a responsible journalist thing to do, but I'm not a responsible journalist. I'm a talk show host. My heavens.
Yeah, we do the bold and stupid thing here.
let's just turn the phones off. Just assume. Yep. If anything
let's live
canceled,
in bliss.
I love it.
Live in bliss here, yes. for an hour or so.
Why not? Yeah. Just assume that the Utes and the USC are going to play. It's a game we look forward to the most every year in the Pac-12, like for the Utes.
Pac-12 South always goes through USC.
Yes, and it's first game of the year tomorrow for the Utes, so that'll be a fun one. And it's at home, in front of nobody. So are they having like any family or anybody? You know what I mean?
I don't know. I haven't heard anything about fans, but.
I would assume with how dicey the first 2 weeks have gone, they're going to have nobody.
Right.
Please, no one show up.
I will cheer very loud from the radio booth just to
let me tell you how nervous. I mean, just even during the break here, Jeremy walked in and he said, hey, they've got COVID news up at the University of Utah, but it's for the basketball team. The basketball team has suspended activity indefinitely, practices, team activities, et cetera. That's not good. And I'll just say right now, keep the football team.
I don't care.
Keep the football team and the basketball team very far away from each other.
They're completely separate. Separate buildings, separate areas of campus.
Don't let them even.
The problem is.
Don't even text each other. That's it. It can be passed via text. That's what they should tell each other.
The problem is the basketball is higher up on the hill. So they could, like, shoot germs that may travel downhill.
Depending on where the wind is, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad we're informing people so well.
You know, it's like when they did testing in Nevada in the 50s.
Oh, the downwinders, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that could be the football team. All right. So as we kick things off here, our guest right now, he's the host of Cougar Sports Saturday. We felt so bad for Matt Biamonte and Mitch Harper this week. We had Mitch on last night. And tonight, Matt Biamonte doing a little bit of a victory lap because Taysom Hill is going to get that start. It looks like Sunday, his premonition of Taysom Hill being an NFL starting quarterback will come true. So, Matt, how do you feel about this? You knew it was going to happen all along, right?
I wouldn't say I knew it all along. I just believed in what Sean Payton was saying. I think a lot of people scoffed at what he would say over the years, and I just said, hey, Sean Payton's coached many a great NFL quarterback, developed plenty of good NFL quarterbacks. I'm going to believe what this guy says rather than what other people think. And a couple years later, here he is starting his first NFL game.
So what do you expect from Taysom?
I expect I actually expect them to throw the ball a lot more than people think. The Falcons are one of the worst passing defenses in the NFL. They're second worst. The only team worse in terms of pass yardage.
If you say
given
the Seahawks,
up,
I'm going to be
right. Seattle.
Come
it's
on!
It's Seattle. It's, I'm sorry.
That's right. Those Seahawks, they're terrible. Then,
so I think Taysom will throw the ball over 25 times. I think he'll throw close to 300 yards. I don't think it's going to be a situation where he runs it 15 or 20 times. Certainly they're going to use him in the run game, but I think they're really going to let him throw. And we all know that Drew Brees, guys, his arm strength hasn't been there for a couple of years. When the Saints take truly deep shots, it's usually Taysom Hill coming in, play action, and throwing a deep ball. So I think you'll see plenty of intermediate to deep throws, and I think a lot of people are going to be surprised at how often he throws the football.
I wonder, too, about how you balance that. And, Scott, you've brought it up, too, where it's like, look, he's a threat on the ground, but you don't want to bail yourself out with that. Other people might have those check downs and things like that. You said he's not going to run a lot. I bet the temptation's going to be there because he's been so effective. And how does Atlanta handle a guy who has the ability to run on him? Do they have a spy that covers him? How exactly do you – I mean, this is a good game for him to start because everybody says, well, it's the Falcons. But the Falcons have been pretty – I mean, they've lost a lot of close games, but this is a divisional game, and he's getting his start. This is not light fare.
If you watch
– Yeah,
really quick, go ahead. Matt. I was just going to say, if you watch, like, Kyler Murray, or you watch Russell Wilson, or a guy like Ben Roethlisberger, or Patrick Mahomes, where Taysom Hill is really going to have success is not necessarily running. And it's really interesting, Matt, that you bring this up that he'll throw – because Sean Payton is who he is. He wants to throw the ball, whether Taysom Hill is in there or Drew Brees. And I think he'll get his runs just off of the ad-libs from Taysom Hill. But where Taysom can have success in this game is by buying time and extending plays. And all those guys I mentioned, they're really good at that. And it's really hard, no matter if you have a spy, whatever you have, when you have a guy that can extend plays.
Yeah, that's a great point, Scott. I was going to bring that up too, where – I think, and you saw this a little bit in the Tampa Bay game, his big run where he hurdled someone, that wasn't a designed run. That was a passing play where there was nothing there and he took off. And I think you're going to see a lot of that where that's what makes him such a unique quarterback option for Sean Payton, because Jameis Winston, he doesn't give you that. He plays a lot like Drew Brees, obviously a stronger arm, but with Taysom, you call those passing plays. And their quarterback coach made a comment earlier today echoing the same thing, Scott, where he said what makes him so tantalizing is you don't have to call run plays for him. You can call a passing play, and if it breaks down, he'll go out and run. And he's like, there's a lot of times people don't realize this in previous play situations where he was in at quarterback where we called a passing play, but because of it being a play action, there was usually only one or two options, and if they weren't there, he would take off and run, and everyone just thinks he's running it every time. But a lot of the times, they're calling passing plays and he doesn't see anything and then makes something happens with his leg. So when you have the NFL's arguably best running back right now, Alvin Kamara, you give the running plays to him and then Taysom can make stuff happen on the ground on passing plays that break down.
Matt Biamonte, host of Cougar Sports Saturday. Of course, we're going to be watching this game tomorrow with BYU and North Alabama. And we've been trying to figure out what the measuring stick should be for a really good game for BYU tomorrow, considering that you've got to be seen, but this is also an opponent that everybody's just going to be going to look at and say, well, that's very forgettable.
Yeah, I think anything less than BYU in the 50s and North Alabama less than in the single digits, less than 10, I don't think that would hurt them, but you need to have that just when you see the box score on the bottom of the ticker, huge blowout, and you say, oh, BYU's still doing what they do. But if this is a 38-14 situation, that's even if BYU plays well and they just call off the dogs, that when you see that box score, you say, oh, you know, maybe BYU didn't have their greatest game. So this is a situation, guys, where you don't want to run up the score. You still want to have class and sportsmanship, but the margin of victory, especially against these type of teams, they matter, especially when you're trying to, you know, have that perception continue that you're blowing people out each and every week. And so BYU's got to put up more than 50. And the defensively, North Alabama, they average 12 points a game. This is a terrible offense.
What?
So BYU's defense has got to keep them under 10 points.
They're grinders, Alex. They're grinders. They shorten the game.
Hey, they're 0-3, but that does not indicate what type of team they are, all right? The North Alabama, checking my notes, Lions taking on the BYU Cougars tomorrow at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. Matt, we appreciate it, and have fun watching the game, and good luck the rest of the weekend. I hope you guys have fun chatting this thing up. At least, hey, the next couple of weeks, they don't play again until December 12th, it looks like. Are you – well – anyway, I hope that
they're going to schedule Utah.
December 5th, there's some rumors swirling.
Stop
December
it.
5th, Cincinnati has an opening. That would be very interesting.
That is the worst idea happening. I've ever heard. All right, Matt Biamonte, we'll catch you again, buddy, and taking the break here. MVPs are next on a Friday edition of KSL's Unrivaled. Stay right here with us on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Carey, as we were talking to Matt Biamonte in the last segment, I couldn't help but think of this question, and I think it's a legitimate one, Alex, and that is this. What if Taysom Hill plays really well? Seriously, like what
well,
if he
no,
plays
I know.
Well?
I think
a
lot of people are planning on it. And the Saints are planning on it.
You know, they finish out the season, they go in the playoffs, they have a run in the playoffs. You know, what if I mean, just that. What if he plays well, and then they go, okay, Drew Brees is healthy. Yeah, but we want to, you know, do we bring Drew Brees back, or what if Drew Brees doesn't get healthy? And then does this mean that's the end of Drew Brees? I mean, is that the end of his career kind of thing? And I, you know, it's a reality now because Taysom Hill is actually playing. And would you really want to see, you know, I mean, it ends for everyone, but it just seems kind of an unceremonious end to Drew Brees. You know, you get your ribs broken and your career's over.
Yeah, and I don't know if he's the kind of guy that is, he didn't like, with the five broken ribs and the collapsed lung, he didn't like the 3 week, hey, you might be out 3 weeks. With five broken ribs and only a collapsed lung, are you kidding me? I'm getting a second opinion. Goes and gets a second opinion, and then they go, hey, man, it's going to be at least 2 weeks. And he's like, all right, fine. This is a guy who is going to keep trying to come back. Whether or not that's going to be like a full-on comeback, I don't know. What's been interesting is reading the comments today about Taysom Hill versus Jameis Winston. And it's just so funny because people will say Taysom Hill's the worst. I can't believe they're giving – here are the two sides of things. Finally, my man's getting a start. This guy's awesome. He's a crazy athlete. I can't wait to see what he does through the air. And then the other one is I can't believe they're not starting Jameis Winston. Dumbest decision ever made. And it was like they've seen Jameis Winston – lose tons and tons of games at Tampa Bay with terrible performances. I don't know what people are thinking that why Jameis, he started 70 games and he's not an established starter now. So the question is, why is it that what has he done? I just don't know what people want. I guess both sides of the coin are, it's just people, you know, placing their bets on whether or not this is going to work out for Taysom, but I don't know. I just you know me. I'm always like very like, oh, I don't know.
Throw something out at you. And I was actually surprised they picked up Jameis Winston. If Bruce Arians cannot get a guy to be good, he's probably not good. Like, because
he threw for a kajillion yards and a bunch of touchdowns.
Yeah, but they didn't like him.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, I don't know, but you know he's Bruce Arians is quarterback whisperer, and
he could not whisper. He couldn't get the megaphone out to whisper to this guy loud.
In today's NFL, the way it is, you have to go with Taysom Hill. I mean, this is the trend, and really Sean Payton kind of created this little project, and it's an exciting project because Taysom Hill is a playmaker. He's an athlete. He's a momentum changer, and he's a guy you just feel like, look, he may be rough around the. It's a little bit like Josh Allen. You know, he's not as polished, but he's a guy that guys can rally around and believe in because he's just committed and plays hard.
How long do they give Taysom before?
Plenty of time.
I mean, because my thing is. You don't want to, like, take him out and go, you get this one game to figure it out.
No,
because
no,
paying him too much money hope that it works out.
Nobody does that. If they're really serious about the guy, they give him, if Drew Brees isn't healthy, they give him the rest of the season. I mean, they give it because there's no other way to learn than to just get in there and play. And to put a guy in there and then just yank him out, it just really messes messes with a guy big time, because then you start getting hesitant. You start questioning yourself, and you can never do that as a quarterback. You have to be decisive. You make decisions, and you stick with them, and you make them work. And really good quarterbacks will do that. They'll force a ball where it shouldn't be, but they force it in there, and they make it work. Or they scramble around, they move, whatever. But the ones that are good figure it out and make it work and are very, very decisive in what they do.
I'm interested to see if they can if I mean, like you were saying, you go, look, this Utah game is exciting that they're going to be starting up the season. BYU's got a game tomorrow. And you were like, I'm actually maybe more excited about seeing how Taysom Hill does than to see anything else this weekend. It is going to be fascinating to tune in and go, okay, what's he going to do? How's he going to react? How is the other team going to react to him? How are his teammates going to react? Who's he going to be throwing the most to? Is he going to take advantage of Michael Thomas? Is he going to hand the ball off to Alvin Kamara most of the time? It'll be interesting to find out what they do. All right, it's that time of the night, Scott. It's our last one of the week. It's our Unrivaled MVP.
KSL's Unrivaled. The Unrivaled MVP. Scott and Alex crowned tonight's most valuable player, according to Scott. According to Alex. Most valuable player.
Honorable mention, I laughed during the break because some guy tweeted out, I'm a sucker for, you know, I don't know. I fell hook, line, and sinker for this one, Scott. But this is the honorable mention because I don't know who this person is. Plus, his Twitter handle is BYU Sucks, so I don't want to even give him the time of day. But the tweet was, confirmed BYU has 50 players and at least three coaches that have tested positive for being overrated. And I fell hook, line, and sinker for it, Scott. That's what I did. I go, I don't like this
person. No, you're
at
reading
all.
It. I'm like, oh, they probably did throughout the course of this season. You know, at some point in the beginning. Okay, overrated.
Antibody test for being overrated. All right. I was mad about
President
it.
President Trump actually has a vaccination for that.
I was mad at first, and then I chuckled at myself and said, come on, let's have a little fun. That's good. All right. Yeah. So the MVPs tonight. Scott, you want to start here first?
Yeah, I'll do. So my MVP, Tiger Woods.
Oh.
He's going to team up with his son, Charlie, who's 11.
So is he good? I mean,
I don't know.
By the time Tiger was like four, he was already on The Tonight Show.
Oh, no. Yeah. So that's the mystery part of all this. No one knows. This event is a long standing one, right? And so it's where these father and son duels compete against other father and son duels on the PGA Tour. And I love that the PGA Tour does this, right? And I just think it's a very cool thing. And
they need to have a father-son's NFL game, too.
Well, that's what I was thinking. It's like, how could you ever do that? But, you know, I think that the excitement is no one knows about Charlie, Tiger's son. And is he like another prodigy? And he's 11, right? Most of these guys that play are, you know, their sons are either they've been on some form of tour or some high level of golf.
Well,
you know,
think
they're
about
pretty,
the
they're pretty
family.
Good players, right?
Think of the Summerays family. It's like every one of them wins all the amateur, the girls amateur, the boys amateur, the junior amateur. I mean, it's just. So there's part of that, like, kind of it running in the family. But there's the part of being the GOAT that Tiger is and, like, having being a prodigy. Usually they don't have a son prodigy.
Right.
That's the tough thing. It's like Michael Jordan Jr., you know, or, you know, fill in the blank. It just is a lot of times they have the talent to maybe get to the next level. They certainly got all the opportunity, but they aren't their dads. And that's always hard to expect that they would be.
And that's a good point, but – there's some other good players. So Gary Player and his grandson, Annika Sorenstam and her dad, Justin Thomas and his dad.
Fun.
So
yeah.
So kind of cool things.
Very quickly, mine is going to be the Mets owner, Steve Cohen. You remember Bobby Bonilla Day?
Oh, yeah.
Bobby Bonilla Day is when they have to pay Bobby Bonilla every year $1 million+. He embraced it by saying, you know what? Let's have a full-on celebration. Bring Bobby Bonilla out. Hand him a giant check every year. They have to do it all the way up until 2035 per his contract. So
that's awesome.
I think they should do it. I would love if they did it. All right. Second hour next. Stay right here with us after news, traffic, and weather on KSL's Unrivaled.
KSL's Unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
right, everybody. Welcome back. It's another edition of KSL's Unrivaled. Thanks for being with us. Yes, the weekend edition of KSL's Unrivaled as we take you into a fascinating weekend here. Fingers crossed about the Utes kicking off against USC today.
Fingers crossed. This is monumental. Are you kidding me? Listen, like, this is past our Friday, you know, hey,
the deadline.
Sorry, Scott. Here's a text from Alex.
Every time,
aren't playing this week.
But there was this weird... I never sent a ha ha ha.
You didn't have to. It was inferred. I felt it.
Oh my goodness. You know I don't have those kinds of feelings, all right? I want nothing but football for everybody, okay?
I don't know about that because I used to get you with the Utah, like this is the year that BYU and you'd like, stop it, no.
I'm out. Yeah,
and then
last night you go,
yeah, you know what? This probably is the year that BYU would win.
All right. We are going to allow ourselves, because we just are putting it off to the very last hour here of the week of the show, that we have to talk about the Utah Utes and their game tomorrow against the USC Trojans coming to town. So it's going to be our 8:05 cut right here. Let's do it.
The cut at 8:05. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
There's this part of me too, Scott, that I got like 3 or 4 emails from the Pac-12 today, and they were all like, so one of them was canceling the Washington State-Stanford game.
Right.
Another one was just talking about like just kind of the weekend of the Pac-12 kind of action that was going to be going on. And then there was also an email from the University of Utah's athletic department, and every time it came in, I'd go, oh, what's going on?
Yeah.
When Utah sent out the game preview email, I started to have a little bit of a sigh of relief. Like, even the program is saying, okay, we're pretty sure this thing's going forward. So let's talk.
You know what email I got sent?
What'd you get?
I got sent an email from the University of Utah, and it's my parking pass.
Oh, hey, look at that. That means
which can be used on my phone or I can print it out.
Let me ask you this. Yeah. Did you get those the other weeks?
I did.
Yes. Okay, well, then that's not
they
good.
They waited, though. They waited super late this
week. That's good. That's good. Yeah. So I think that they're kind of indicating that this is going to be going off.
Yes.
And you know, I don't think USC is traveling unless that happens, unless they know for sure that this game's going to be happening, and we know they're traveling here. So let's start off by actually talking about the game, breaking down the game, Scott. As you look at this, now, even if this were a year free of COVID – Utah would be starting up the season with a lot of young guys. We've interviewed Clark Phillips III. We've talked about how young this defense could be. We know that the defense is going to be young. So what are the benefits and the pitfalls of having such a young team starting off the year with USC coming to town right off the bat?
Well, the good part of it is there's a lot of youthful excitement. And these guys are talented. I mean, these are well thought of you know, highly regarded, you know, 3-4-star athletes that are going to play. So that's exciting. And it's exciting to see, okay, how good really are they? And you know that there are going to be mistakes. You know there's going to be plays where you're just like, well, he was out of position or he got beat or whatever. And what I want to see is that these guys go, okay, I answer back from that. You know, I don't want to see this like deer in the headlights look, you know, from these guys if something big happens or they get down. I want to see them play with that energy, play with that excitement. So that's the good side of this. The bad side of it for these young guys is they've had no game experience to realize the speed of what they're going up against. I mean, in the Pac-12, USC, Oregon, those are where the best athletes are. I mean, maybe to some extent Arizona State right now, but USC always has really good athletes. And you saw it a year ago with Julian Blackman, who's starting in the NFL right now, and Utah had not played in its non-conference game the 3 games before that. Teams with the athleticism and the speed that USC had. I mean, USC had some great receivers last year, and they still do this year. So from a secondary standpoint, that's going to be, you know, that's going to be a bit of a challenge. Now, up front, Utah does very well as far as they should be able to match up with USC, and they should be able to match up offensively, even more. And USC runs a three-man front, and they're holes, And with a veteran offensive line, with a lot of good, solid running backs, Utah should be able to run the football, and it would be a really good idea to run the football because it kind of slows the game down and it gives your young defense a chance to kind of find its footing a little
bit. Well, let me ask you this, because last year it was that another time at the Coliseum where Utah goes in and should have probably won this football game. But Michael Pittman Jr., who's not, obviously he's in the NFL now, but Keaton Slovis is the guy who was just throwing the ball up to him last year. And you've got so many young guys in the defensive backfield. That was a veteran defensive backfield for Utah. How nervous are they about how that passing defense is going to be on that side of the ball?
It's going to be baptism
by
worried. Fire.
You sound a little worried.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can't expect it to be anything other than that. I mean, USC is good, and to not have really to have any kind of game preparation. I was excited about this shortened season in that you're going to get Arizona, you're going to get UCLA, and these guys are going to work out the kinks by the time they get to the third game. But now you're like, okay, the season opener is USC. That's going to be a challenge, and it's going to be a challenge because USC has now played two games, so they're going to be more comfortable than maybe in past times. Now, USC hasn't played very well in Salt Lake, and there's no fans. Like so the noise factor is going to be gone, because that's a very real thing in Rice-Eccles Stadium. The altitude, maybe the temperature could have some impact. And so, you know, I'm like, man, from the radio booth, I got to yell really loud.
Yeah.
Right? Whatever's there.
If they want you to hear them, they've got to, if they want to hear what Scott Mitchell has to say, you're going to keep that window open. You got to yell down there.
Now, the good side about no fans is that stupid band from USC.
Oh.
And I don't have to hear and so I'm grateful that, you know, there's the silver lining for you for not having
that
fans.
Being said, the USC fight song is actually awesome. Are
well
you
no,
kidding?
No
come on
of course it's awesome but
it's
when
one of the
but when
ones.
It's rubbed in your face
yeah
there, not
there was
awesome
a, there was a time so when I was at BYU they played the year they played USC, like the Reggie Bush Matt Leinart year, I think they lost 56-21 down there in Provo. And every first down, the band had like an abbreviated version of the song they would play, of the fight song. And they had 27 first downs that game. So you hear that 27 times through the game. And I remember thinking to myself, look, I know this is historic because these guys are awesome. Reggie Bush is amazing. Matt Leinart's amazing. Did not matter because I had to hear that song over and over. So I feel your pain on that. Utah has not lost at home to USC since 2012. That sounds crazy to say. That USC has as much of a hard time, it seems like, winning at Utah as Utah does at the Coliseum. So
these are real trends, right? They're just, for whatever reason, certain teams match up well. I mean, Utah matches up well with Stanford. They don't typically match up well against Oregon or Washington. They're kind of 50-50 on like Washington State. They do well against Oregon State. Utah does poorly against Arizona State. I think it's just kind of team style, and I think there's a little bit of psyche in there. You know that USC, all they hear all week long, you guys haven't won there since 2012,
right.
And I think that gets into the mindset of players. As what happens when Utah goes to the Coliseum, these are young, impressionable minds that can be influenced.
Let's take the break here. We still don't know who the quarterback's going to be, though. Is that right?
No.
Okay.
We're not going to know.
I heard that little
kickoff.
Cough. I heard that little cough beforehand.
Probably going to be all three.
I think they all have a shot. All right. We're going to take a break here. We'll come back. We've got a weekend. What are the odds around the corner? You don't want to miss it. Stay with us. More to go right here in KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio.
All righty, welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. This is Scott Mitchell, and he's Alex Carey, and that's the song we all love to hate. No, really, it's the most annoying thing in the world, and they do it like
so good.
in the warm-ups, as you're, they go behind your bench, and they sit and play that over and over and over. And they think it's just the most intimidating thing in the world.
And it's true.
And it actually is true. But actually, if it was me, I would be so mad, and so it would fire me up so much. I would just be
the USC fight song. It's a classic. I think Notre Dame is probably – Michigan's got an amazing fight song. Texas has a good one.
You know what's amazing, Alex?
What?
What's amazing is we're into the evening on Friday night.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We still haven't.
And we haven't got the nasty text message or email.
Scott. Hi, Scott. It's me. it's me, the University of Southern California. I regret to inform you that we have too many COVID positive cases.
Just don't look at your phone, Alex.
I won't. You know what?
Just for an hour. Let's have a show.
Do it.
Just a peaceful show. Don't look at your phone.
Some blissful ignorance. Yes. You know what? We should change the name of the show. Blissful Ignorance with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. Just every night, it's just like totally ignoring all the bad things that are going on around us, but it's also just ignoring facts, just going straight on with whatever reality we want to live in, and that's where we're at tonight. All right, so it's the weekend, which means we're going to do something fun, and Scott and I participate in a little game show action here on the weekends. Ooh, there's still some fight song music in the background. So here's what we're going to do.
Get rid of that.
What are the odds? You'll know exactly, more or less, what's going to happen. Probably. What are the odds?
All right, so if you're playing at home, all you have to do is just shout out the answer. And you, too, can be a winner. So here's what we have. We will give you a scenario. Scott will give you one. I'll give you one. We give each other a scenario, whatever. We have not planned this out beforehand. We have some scenarios that we want to roll out for one another. And you have to give us we have to give each other the percent chance that thing will or will not happen. So, like I said, you can play at home. So, Scott, let's start it out here. The weekend, what are the odds? Do you want me to start? Do you want to start? Or do you want me to start? Or you to start? Or me to start?
You're right there. Go ahead. Start.
All right. Scott, since we discussed a little bit of it last hour, and it's just another thing that we're excited about for this weekend of sports. What are the odds Taysom Hill throws for over 250 yards?
That's in the whole game.
All game.
That's a tough one because Taysom Hill's going to run the ball a lot.
Oh.
And he is. He's going to run just because he's, you know, that's just what you do when you're young and new and you don't totally know what you're doing. I'm actually going to say I think he'll do well. I think he'll make plays. But I think he'll make a decent number of plays running the football. I'm going to put it at you know where I'm going to put this? I'm going to put this at a 42% Ronnie Lott.
Ronnie Lott, USC guy.
USC.
There you go.
There might be a theme here.
I'll stay in the USC numbers vein.
Okay.
And I'm going to go with – I think it's a lower percent chance. I don't think that – it's not because I don't think he's capable. I just don't know what the game plan is going to be. I think they're going to lean heavily on.
I think they're going to run the ball.
I think it's going to be maybe him, or definitely Alvin Kamara. I think they're going to lean a lot on Alvin Kamara and some of the shorter throws. I don't think they're going to open it up too much on big throws. Or
Sean Payton is not going to run the football by design.
You think? Okay. Well, I'm saying is I think the 250 yards is very generous for a first-time start.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm looking at what Tua's been doing, right? He's like, man, he's 13 for 19 and 137 yards and a touchdown. And you're like, wow, that's
fun. He's on his way to the Hall of Fame.
That being said, Tua has thrown way more touchdowns than Taysom Hill has because Taysom Hill still has not thrown a career touchdown. So
he'll go bananas.
I'm going to go with a Marcus Allen 32% chance that he throws for.
Well, that's 10% less than me.
Yeah.
Well, not that much.
You're so much more optimistic.
You sounded like way.
All right. Scott, what are the odds? Oh, no. Did you throw that one at me or did I throw that one at you?
You threw that one at me.
Okay. So you throw this one at me then.
Okay. What are the odds that BYU is in the top 10 when the first playoff rankings are released this next Tuesday?
In the top 10. That's
tough. In the playoffs,
in the college football playoff. I don't know. Is there a lot of chances of guys in the – are the top 10 playing – are they eating their own this week? Are they – they're not really playing against each other this week, I don't think.
You've got Indiana's playing Ohio State.
Right. Yeah, and I don't think that even they will drop enough.
No, I'm talking about Indiana.
Indiana would be all the way out. If Ohio State loses, you'll see Ohio State – kick BYU out of the top 10.
No,
Would get in.
Right, the teams BYU's got to be worried about right now are the Indianas, the Wisconsins, Texas A&Ms, and Cincinnati.
Boy, you say all those. And I just think that I think that there is a conspiracy against teams like BYU. You know what I mean?
Okay, I think there are conspiracies against teams like BYU to be. I mean, it's the same reason that UCF never even got close, right? They were always at the. They were always left out of everything. So I'm going to go with a. Let me see here. I'm going to go with a Mark Sanchez 6% chance of.
Wow, of you BYU are just, being in there. You're so bad.
I'm going with the USC like,
you're
number
the
again.
BYU guy.
I know, but again, part of that means that I have to have a low self-esteem when it comes to. I have to already start playing the victim card, Scott. If I want this to work, I got to play the victim card already.
I'm going
to
do much higher than that.
Okay, wow, right? I like it.
I'm going to do Matt Leinart 7%.
Okay. at least you didn't do a Keyshawn Johnson 1%, right? The night is young.
That would be bad.
What are the odds that Utah plays more than one quarterback? What are the odds they play more than one quarterback?
When? During the season? Or
this weekend. You know, they're just beating USC by so much that they got to put a guy in the third quarter. They want to give him reps. Not that necessarily, but of course that they might be struggling enough that they try another guy.
So what was Keyshawn's number?
It was low. It was one.
It was one.
Yeah.
I'll go with I'll do that.
You'll go 1% chance.
I don't. I think whoever starts is going to play.
Is going to be the guy.
Yeah.
So is it Jake Bentley or is it Cam Rising? That was my little.
Trying to find out who it is?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be Cam Rising.
Okay. Based on nothing.
Well, I'm going to stake my whole reputation on it based on nothing, but yeah.
That's good. I don't know. I think that they're going to – I bet the same thing. So play more than one quarterback. I'm going to go with – oof. Who even played at USC? What was Reggie Bush? He's way too high. He's at 21, wasn't he?
21's not
21. Bad. Yeah, I'll go with the 21%. Yeah, Reggie Bush, 21%. Here we go. Oh, you got to give me this next one. It's a BYU one.
Okay. The next one is what are the odds that BYU and Cincinnati schedule a game on December 5th? Both of those teams, of course, have that date open right now.
I mean, if they're smart, it should be zero. You know what I mean? I don't think that they should ever have to be – there's just no point in trying to look for that game. Doesn't benefit you at all. Play Cincinnati. I'm not saying because I don't think Cincinnati's not a good team. What I'm saying is – if you lose to Cincinnati, Cincinnati's not going to end up in the college football playoff because they beat BYU, and BYU's not going to end up in the college football playoff because they beat Cincinnati either. So I just don't think that it's just – to me, it's not interesting of a matchup, and I certainly hope they don't do it. Oh, let me see here. I don't know. I don't even know any low numbers now that played for USC. Oh, no, Reggie Bush was 5, dude.
Yeah, he was –
I'm going to go with Reggie Bush. When he was in the pros, he was 21. Oh, no, I'm thinking of who was the guy? It was Lightning and Thunder. What were they? It was Lendale White. Remember Lendale White?
Yes.
Anyway, I'm going to go with a Reggie Bush 5%. Reggie Bush 5% chance.
Okay.
Please don't. I wish I could go with an even lower number, but I just don't know any other numbers besides that. So that's my low, low, low guess.
I'm going to have to step outside the USC
family? Yeah. Okay.
And I'm going to go with the Jim Otto 0%.
Oh, it's a zero. Okay,
this game is not happening.
And they shouldn't. It shouldn't happen. I don't think they should either. Yeah,
this is just not happening.
All right, man, we're plumb out of time. So,
oh, wow.
So that was your weekend of What Are the Odds, and we hope that you enjoyed it. And let's take the break here. We'll come back. We've got more to go on the program. And when we return, let me see here. Oh, we've got an NFL roundup right around the corner.
The old NFL roundup.
Yeah, so stay right here with us. More to go. It's a weekend edition of KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery. We'll be right back.
KSL's Unrivaled. The teams you live for. The sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back. KSL's Unrivaled, Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, right here on KSL News Radio. Also, download the KSL Sports app. You can listen to our show anywhere podcasts are found. You can also click on the old podcast button on there. Excuse me. You can get all the breakdowns, Utes, Jazz, Cougars, all of it. We've got some amazing colleagues who do such great jobs. Some of the best in the business doing their jobs for us here at KSL Sports, and it's just awesome to have them as a resource. So if you haven't downloaded the KSL Sports app yet, You want to get some BYU insider action from old Mitch Harper? Boom. Do it right there. Ben Anderson hooking you up with the latest of the Utah Jazz. I'm just so excited for the Jazz next season now. It's a very, very exciting time to be a Utah Jazz fan. To be a Ryan Smith. Ryan Smith showed up at the right time, didn't he? I mean, my heavens. I hope. What makes me, Scott, just as excited about the Jazz making all the moves is that Houston is imploding. Like, that makes my heart just as happy.
Yeah, you don't even need anything to happen for the Jazz, and Houston imploding is just, like, yes, the best news ever. Yeah.
And, you know.
Isn't that right, Jeremy?
Jeremy's very excited.
Yeah.
About Houston. Just,
you know what?
The
there's only one thing that would be better, and that's if the Lakers imploded. Lakers implode.
I just don't know.
We're
the thing is, how long do the Lakers stay at the top where they're at? You know what I mean?
Like, it's a one and done. that was a bubble experiment. No one really cared.
How long does LeBron go? I don't know what the, like, how long can, because NBA bodies, I'm trying to figure out, because Vince Carter was what? Was he 61 when he retired?
But you can play, but you're not like, you
know.
No, like,
that's what I'm saying. You fall off pretty quick.
Yeah.
So
LeBron seems uninterested. He really does. He's kind of just like, yeah.
If you're LeBron, just figure out whatever it is to trademark your Taco Tuesday bullcrap and then move on, and we can just enjoy a more competitive West. All right. Kicking things off here, Scott, we've got that time of the night where we jump into some NFL stories here. So why don't we just go ahead and do it? It's the NFL Roundup.
KSL's Unrivaled. The Unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium grade A pro football stories from your two hosts, a former NFL quarterback and the other guy. It's the Unrivaled NFL Roundup.
All right. So when we got off the air last night and the Seahawks were only up 23-21 on the Cardinals, I got nervous.
It felt like the first game they played.
I know, because they were this close to going to half or going to overtime. I was so nervous about them going to overtime because I don't have any faith in that defense. The Seahawks defense ended up being the thing that bailed them out. They got a sack at the very end on Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray was not 100% health wise last night either. But I don't know. It's I'm excited about the NFL as usual. This weekend. And so if you look at so the NFL did this write up on their website on NFL.com. They talked about, they have this three teams that are better than their record kind of list. All right. So here are the teams that are better than their record. The Los Angeles Rams at 6-3. I think that's a good record, though. And the Rams are not. Here's the thing about the Rams. Their quarterback, Jared Goff, way too inconsistent for me to think to myself, oh, they're you know, way better. 6-3 is a really good record in the NFC. And in the NFC West, it's a really good record. So I don't know if I agree with that one. And I don't know if I agree with this next one, Scott. Tell me your thoughts on the New York Giants.
Well, can I tell you my thoughts on the Rams?
Well, sure. Yes.
Well, I think the Rams are about right.
I don't think they're better than that.
Yeah. No, but I kind of have an issue with this whole record anyways thing. I mean, I agree with it. In one regard, but I don't necessarily agree with it in that you've got – your record is what it is, Alex. I mean, you can say, well, no, they're better than that. It's like, no. I mean, if you're really going to do well in the NFL, you have to be honest with your record is what you are. And if you're trying to say we're more, we're less, or whatever, it's just not how it is.
So the Giants at 3-7, their record is not, quote-unquote, better than that? Because they've actually lost.
No,
all
they're
seven
not
games.
That good.
That's what I think.
I mean, now, people are saying they're better than that. No,
what does
not
that
even
mean?
Close.
I mean, the reality is that the Giants are. I mean, they're in the worst division in football, and they've won two games in a row. So they are like they're at the top of the heap almost. I mean, the Eagles are 3-5-1. So technically, the Eagles have that edge, but they're also 3-7. And to me, whatever. New York is 3-3 in their last six games, and they've lost those other games by a total of 6 points. But I just don't care. I think that New York is one of these teams that's a little bit broken.
Losing by a few points or winning by a few points, what it means is you're just not quite good enough.
Okay.
I mean that to me just doesn't say, oh yeah, you're better. You're better than no. It's like the good teams find ways to win games in those situations, and that's what I felt about the Rams is they're kind of figuring out how to win games.
Here's where I start to get offended. three teams that are worse than their records. The Chicago Bears at 5-5. They have been what they are is they're exactly what their record is because they went 4-1 and now they've gone 1-4 in the last four. And, so,
and you wonder about Mitchell five. Trubisky because this kind of started sliding off when
they got rid of him.
Yeah, and he may be ugly, but I mean Josh Allen doesn't necessarily do things pretty all the time.
Don't mean like his face is ugly. Oh, okay.
Well, no, I mean like he plays ugly. Oh, okay. It's just not pretty.
That's what my parents said to me. Look, you may be ugly, but your record is way better than
like Russell Wilson. When he throws a pass, it's pretty. It's got a nice tight spiral to it, and it's Josh Allen.
Okay,
ugly.
Look, the Seahawks are on this list at 7-3.
I kind of agree with that.
Why? The thing is, I know they started out 5-0.
They have holes in their defense, and you look
for
at,
sure.
People are figuring out how to play Russell Wilson.
Well,
but
they didn't last night. They didn't last night. So when you say, "Well, people are figuring it out," this was the team that beat the Bills on Sunday, and Hail Murray with Kyler Murray's Hail Mary. And so, who cares? They still won in front of everybody on Thursday Night Football. Against a team that was six and three in their division.
You want me to make you feel better?
Yes.
I think Arizona's that way. I don't
great.
Think.
So no, I still I do. Feel better I, just because
they're 6-4, and I think that's better than they actually are.
Okay.
I do.
All right.
Kyler Murray right now, if you really watch him, he's way too antsy in the pocket, and he throws. He right now he's kind of getting away with some throws. But that nervousness in the pocket is either he doesn't really understand what he's doing or he can't see.
Let me ask
you
this.
Maybe it's both.
So a lot of times on these Fridays, we'll jump into our silver and black attack. And here's what I wanted to I'll mix it in with the NBA because or with the with our NFL roundup because we have so much on the show tonight. But this Chiefs and Raiders game, I really hope that the Raiders end up pulling all those guys off of the COVID-19 list. They're all on the list. The 11 guys. There's 11 guys signed that are on the COVID-19 list for the Raiders.
It's like Ocean's 11.
But they're all
they're gonna rob a casino. That's why they're not playing.
That's what I'm playing. So they have but they're all high risk or they're like all high high risk exposure. They're not.
I thought you said they're all high.
They're all high.
They're all high, and they can't play.
No,
this
they're
week.
At the high. They were at like a high risk or a high exposure
risk.
They're not positive. No. They were not.
Just,
they were not positive.
Oh, they're
not
quarantined.
They're quarantined because they were around somebody who had it, and so if they test negative on the day of, they can play, or the day before, they can play.
Yeah.
So if they can get all those guys back, because everybody wants to see a healthy Raiders and a healthy Chiefs, game. This is going to be. This to me is one of the big ones of the weekend because it has such big implications. The Raiders are a team who have worked back to that 6-3 record, and you can kind of undo so much of it if you lose to the Chiefs. You are the one team who beat them this year, and the Chiefs can just steal all that momentum right back from you by beating you at your place.
Well, and you know the Raiders have had to deal with this already once, and they did a good job with it. And you want both teams at their best, and to find out. Who's the better team right now? The Raiders are a team that's on the rise. They've got some confidence, and you just don't want this game to go down to but we didn't have seven of our starters on defense. Sure, you're going to beat us. You really don't want that. But on the other side of it, they could come back to one another, and play in the playoffs, and it could be a situation where the Kansas City Chiefs might get surprised because. The Raiders are actually, this wasn't the team we saw in Las Vegas, and that certainly can happen. And I just want to see a good football game, and so I hope they're able to play.
My whole thing is with a game like this, and John Gruden is funny because he's kind of like, don't ask me any questions about COVID. But it will play a massive role in this game on Sunday if they have 11 guys out, you're not getting a true shot as to what this game really looks like for the Raiders and the Chiefs, which would be a shame. All right, we'll take the break here. We'll come back. 2-minute drill, wrapping up the show next. Stay right here with us a whole week, wrapped up into one small moment. Next right here on KSL News Radio, it's KSL's Unrivaled.
All right, welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery, final segment of the show tonight, final segment of the week tonight, and still no word that the game has been canceled.
Well, so to be fair to us,
two thumbs up. So
to be fair to us, we refused. We haven't been looking at our phones at all. Remember, yeah, that was the whole deal.
There could have been a nuclear bomb go off. A lot of things could have happened.
We told everybody when the show started, as of the beginning of the second hour of the show, we decided, look, we're going to quit while we're ahead and just say the game's happening tomorrow.
Yep.
So if you're all texting me and saying, oh, you guys missed the memo, they just canceled it, I'm not listening.
Yep.
I'm not listening. So Utah, USC. What I'm excited about is you and Bill getting in the old broadcast booth again.
Yes.
I haven't
It's going to be a little weird with no fans.
It's been almost a year, by the way.
I know.
That is so weird that you guys have not called a game in almost a year.
Yeah.
It is November 20th. It's going to be November 21st tomorrow, and Utah will have not played a game in 10 and a half months.
Yeah.
That is insane. That's how terrible 2020's been, all right? So I'm glad everything – it's just one more thing, one more step in the direction of feeling a little bit more normal with Scott and Bill making the call tomorrow. BYU's playing tomorrow. I'm going to be at Lavelle Edwards Stadium midday hanging out with Mitch Harper. I'm going to try to sneak in some snacks because they don't let you have as many snacks these days. So we'll see how that goes over.
Good luck with that.
Well, good luck to them checking my pants pockets. You know what I'm saying?
Well, stranger things have happened.
Scott, that music at the end of the show. They're all, what do you have back here, sir? I'm all, it's those raspberry-filled donuts. Don't touch them.
They're going to squish.
Sir, I'm saying you have a ring. You have a raspberry ring shape in your two back pockets. Leave me alone. These are post-game meals. All right, Scott, the two-minute drill music that we're playing right now, it means what?
Well, it means this. It's like in a game when you're behind, you have to hurry, go down the field and kick a field goal, score a touchdown, don't have a lot of time, and you probably don't have a timeout, so you got to hurry. Our show's the same way. We have a lot to talk about, not a lot of time, so talk a little bit about a lot of things. We hurry down the field, we win the game, get a trophy, everyone goes home happy wearing a mask.
Okay. Mask up, everybody. Be safe out there. Scott, do you think that – would you pay money to watch a – Michael Jordan and LeVar Ball. LeVar Ball's the dad, right?
Yeah, LeVar's the dad.
I just can't remember who all.
I know we need a program.
We do. Yeah. You know what's wild is out of all the things.
Because, like, the one who's playing in the NZA, whatever. I can't even say the NBA now.
The NCAA NBA, yeah.
It's Lonzo, right?
Well, Lonzo's in it right now.
And LaMelo just got drafted.
So now here's what's wild.
LeVar's the dad. Don't they have another L somewhere?
Yes, it's LiAngelo. Look at me pulling.
Wow.
I mean, listen, that's crazy. So here's the deal, though. For all the things you want to make fun of LeVar Ball about, I mean, because he talks up these kids, and Lonzo obviously shoots terribly, and he just looks bad while he shoots. Like anyway, here's what you can never take away from LeVar Ball. His two sons... There have never been two brothers picked in the top five picks of the NBA drafts in two separate drafts. So you've never had two brothers taken that high. So of all the things that he says about his family and you're like, whatever, he actually kind of nailed the fact that because Lonzo was a second pick overall. LaMelo was a third pick overall. And so look, but here's the question. Because people are talking about this time that LeVar Ball said he could still take Michael Jordan, that he could have beaten Michael Jordan one-on-one. And the question is if they set up a pay-per-view, Scott, would you watch LeVar Ball and Michael Jordan on pay-per-view with a little bit of one-on-one basketball?
I would just watch it to see how Michael Jordan acted.
Just to see.
Because I think he would take it really serious, and I think he would just absolutely humiliate and embarrass him.
He probably would take it very seriously.
Or he wouldn't do it. If he did it, he'd be all in, and it would be an absolute disaster. But I wouldn't pay over $15.
Right. Look, LeVar Ball, I don't even want to give him that attention. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
This is the kind of thing where I don't want to give him that attention. So Michael Jordan is Michael Jordan. This guy is whoever, you know?
Yeah.
So, all right, next up on the old two-minute drill here, Scott. I want to bring up... The LeVar Ball. Gordon Hayward wants to go to the Pacers. Wants to go back to his old home of Indiana, Scott. That's what he wanted all along.
Yeah, that makes
sense. To get back to Indiana. Because, you know, he's going to play for the Indiana Pacers.
I mean,
let's
who
go.
Doesn't want to get back to Indiana? And see, that's what I was saying the other night, where Gordon Hayward feels like he's a small town guy. Like I don't know that he really wants to be this big time superstar in the NBA. I think the guy wants to play video games. He wants to just kind of play basketball, and I think he wants to be left alone. When he was with the Jazz and they made the playoffs after a long absence, and Gordon Hayward was the guy that had been developed and built up by the Jazz. And at the end of the games, it wasn't Gordon Hayward taking shots to win games. It was Joe Johnson. And I just remember thinking that this guy doesn't want to be the superstar. He does not want to take the team on his shoulders. He doesn't want – and I think when he went to Boston, I think he got talked into something that probably he wasn't comfortable with. I really have always felt that.
Well, the part that Boston wasn't comfortable with was the part where he was not performing well, getting paid $34 million a year. So – but they were still willing to look. He still had the option to pick up that.
Well, they had to live with it, you know.
Yeah, maybe they settled with him. Say, hey, we'll give you $10 million to just go away, so you can go play somewhere else, and we'll just cut you a check for $10 million. Danny Ainge says we'll see you head on your way, and we'll see how things go. So okay, next up here, Scott, I want to know what your thoughts are on. On this, Tom Brady paid this big compliment to Aaron Donald because the Bucs are going to be playing the Rams on Monday Night Football. He just said they're awesome. Now, this happened last year. You remember when Aaron Rodgers paid a huge compliment to Fred Warner. And then these other linebackers in the league got all offended. I just think that was a massive slight to me. I think that was a massive bit of disrespect to me. Did you ever talk about your opponents in glowing fashion, like, you kind of heap praise on them, right? Because the last thing you want to do is give them locker room fodder. But now it backfires on guys.
I don't know that I ever talked about guys, ever. I think it would be, like, if I met them somewhere and like, face-to-face, yeah, I would say something. But I don't know that publicly. I might say something like, you know, I mean, Aaron Donald is a beast. I mean, this guy is someone that you have to know where he is, and you have to be able to handle him, or you're going to be in trouble. And that's where I would leave it. I wouldn't say this is the best player I've ever seen in my life. And what Urban Meyer? I've been thinking about this since we went over this last night. It's so true. Players in the NFL are just—they're all good. They really are. I mean. One of the biggest surprises to me, because I always grew up where you had your skill position players. Those were the athletes. Those were the good players, you know, in high school, college. And then the linemen were kind of, you know, maybe not so much. And in the NFL, oh, my goodness, every position, everyone was like the all-state player, the state champion, everyone was.
Right. Yeah, that's why I think it's interesting.
And so guys get offended by that.
Yeah.
They want to be they think they're the best thing that ever walked
Hilarious.
The earth.
One of the Colts linebackers is so offended that Aaron Rodgers would say that Fred Warner was the best in the league. What about me? All right, Scott, you're the best in the league, by the way. All right, just wanted to tell you.
Great. Right. Now someone's going to be mad.
And they're going to offend everybody else. All right, for Scott Mitchell, I'm Alex Keery. Thanks for being with us. Another edition of KSL Unrivaled in the books. We'll be back on Monday breaking it all down, what you see this weekend. Scott, have fun calling the game tomorrow. And get all what you need on KSLSports.com tomorrow for all your updates. Jazz, Utes, Cougars, everybody. We'll see you next time, everybody.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.